This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
9 1/2 after 6 on this Wednesday morning from WSMI, WSMI FM 106, part 1 of the Morning Ag Show, brought to you by Taylor Tire and Auto of Litchfield, by Farm Credit Illinois, and by Pros Drainage.
Do you dream of an escape to the outdoors? After a year where home became so much more than a place to lay your head, buying your own rural property may have never sounded more enticing. Discover how a piece of land can bring peace to a hectic life. Like Lauren and Corey Sprung of Greene County, who financed their country home build through Rural First.
We financed our farm ground, and so we were familiar with farm credit already. So that's how we had heard about it, and then started going over, you know, all of the incentives that the program had, being a one-time close and, you know, locking in your interest rate. It was really an easy decision at that point. Until Rural First provided their financing, we always joked that we would have to raise our family and then build our forever home, whereas now we're raising our family in our forever home.
Get closer to what matters with Rural First Country Life Lending. Visit farmcreditil.com/escape and make the move. NMLS ID 1844469, Equal Housing Lender. All loans subject to credit approval and eligibility.
Taylor Tire and Auto in Litchfield is your headquarters for Firestone Farm Tires and Service. Taylor Tire, your authorized Firestone Tire dealer, is the place to call for all your Firestone Farm Tire needs. And when you need in-the-field service, the folks at Taylor Tire and Auto are trained, experienced, and they have the right equipment to do the job and on time. So when you need Firestone Farm Tires or in-the-field service, call the folks at Taylor Tire and Auto at the west end of Tyler Avenue, Litchfield.
Attention farmers, did you notice lower yields in those low, poorly drained areas of your field last year? Or is your existing tile system just not doing the job? Then you need a drainage pro. Call Pros Drainage today and they'll design a drainage plan and install drain tile that'll give you better soil aeration along with better root development, increasing your crop yields. Don't wait until it's time to plant. Schedule your tile installation now so you can get back into your field sooner come spring. Call Greg at Pros Drainage in Girard today.
Now with part one of the Morning Ag Show, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you very much, Randy, and good morning. Your grain futures yesterday across the Board of Trade were sharply higher to start off the first day of the month of June. First off, corn futures touched the 40-cent limit for the third time in a week, but this time on the higher side. The new month seemed to spark a heightened sense of concern about the weather. The Northern Plains looks to continue its drier trend over the next few days, with warmer temps also aiding the dryness concern. With a fairly tight ending stock forecast for next year, any weather possibility that threatens the prospect of a bumper crop is going to keep the market volatility elevated. The northern areas of the Midwest also saw some frosty temperatures over the weekend, but damage is expected to be limited. The rest of the Midwest will favor the warmer temps, as there are some spots where planting needs to finish up. The crop progress report from yesterday should show the corn crop nearly 95% planted. The first corn condition rating of the season is expected to show corn rated at 70% good to excellent thus far, slightly above the five-year average. Corn inspections on Tuesday morning totaled 80.7 million bushel. Of that total, 40.8 million bushels were loaded to China. China still has roughly 330 million bushels of old crop commitments left to take. Total inspections now stand at 2.005 billion bushel and need to average just under 60 million bushels a week to reach the USDA's goal of 2.775 billion bushel. Soybeans closed higher but seemed to be more of a follower Tuesday to the neighboring grains. Closing gains on Tuesday in soybeans were half of what the highs were on early Tuesday morning. Soybean oil was sharply higher despite a lower Malaysian palm oil market on Tuesday. Soybean meal was marginally higher. Soybeans were supported by new month buying and weather concerns in the Dakotas. North and South Dakota are responsible for roughly 15% of the expected U.S. soybean output this coming year, so the hot and dry forecast will tend to offer support. Frost damage over the last weekend is expected to be limited. Temps in the northern plains will be rising into the 90s with rainfall limited to a few stray showers over the next week. The extended forecast offers little relief either, but those things can change quickly. Soybean inspections Tuesday totaled 7.1 million bushel. China accounted for 200,000 bushels. China has roughly 26 million bushels of old crop soybeans yet to take. Total inspections now stand at 2.073 billion bushel and need to average about 15 million per week to meet the USDA target of 2.28 billion bushel. The monthly crush data for April was expected to be out yesterday afternoon, and trade is looking for April crush to be 170.9 billion bushel, and the crop progress report is expected to show that 89% of the soybean crop has been planted. Finally, the wheat market was led higher by a sharp move in Minneapolis wheat. That contract closed 44 cents higher in the July and settled at its highest level in over 3 weeks. Wheat inspections totaled 9.4 million bushel. Total wheat inspections totaled 927 million bushel, just shy of 965 of the USDA goal. Grain crushing data for April will be released on Tuesday afternoon, and ethanol figures will be coming out on Thursday, with export sales to come out on Friday. So, recapping your higher grain futures from yesterday, Tuesday, off the Board of Trade, July corn and the old crop gained 32 cents to 688 and three quarters. December new crop up 31 and a half at 577. July beans up 18 cents on Tuesday, 1548 and a half. September, 22 and a quarter cents higher, 1429 and a quarter. November new crop up 24 and a quarter at 1397. July wheat in Chicago up 30 at 693 and a half. September wheat also up 30 cents in Chicago, 697 and a quarter. Oats for July up 7 and a quarter at 348 and three quarters. September oats up 7 and a half, 387 and three quarters. July soybean meal contract up 320, 398.70 a ton. And the July soybean oil contract up $1.60 at 67.39. Now we'll move on and take you to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for yesterday, Tuesday's cash grain report.
This is Thursday's report of grain price and trends prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices are sharply higher on Thursday afternoon. Corn has been down the 40-cent limit earlier in the week and now is up the 40-cent limit. In northern West Des Moines, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids up 37 to 41 cents at 663 to 695. Soybeans are 31 to 34 cents higher at 1509 to 1538. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids up 39 to 41 cents at 655 to 699. Soybeans are 34 cents higher at 1527 to 1574. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were up 39 to 42 cents at 676 to 712. Soybeans are 33 to 35 cents higher at 1526 to 1577. Illinois soybean processors cash soybean bids are 24 to 32 cents higher at 1557 to 1562. Basis was down 2 to 10 at 20 over to 25 over. The July Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were 40 cents higher at 675 to 710. Foot basis unchanged at 10 over to 45 over the July. Illinois River barge floating elevated coated drip produced corn bids 39 cents higher, 699 to 704. Basis was down 1 at 34 over to 39 over the July. Soybeans ended up 31 to 34 cents at 1542 to 1552. Basis was steady to down 3 at 5 over to 15 over the July. New crop wheat prices are 28 cents higher at 686. The 691, with basis unchanged at 10 over to 15 over the July. East St. Louis barge flowing to mid place. Their producer corn bids up 40 cents, 724 to 725. These elevators raise their soybean prices 33 cents. Quotations of 1571 to 1572. Soft wheat closed up 27 cents at 687 to 688, while Milo ended the day 40 cents higher at 715 to 720. Contract bids producers for October, November delivery corn in the northern part of the state at 520 to 545, soybeans at 1333 to 1358. In the central part of the state, corn for October, November delivery at 523 to 544, soybeans at 1348 to 1366. In the southern part of the state, corn for October, November delivery at 520 to 574, soybeans at 1338 to 1395. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Moving on now to your livestock numbers from yesterday, Tuesday, off the Mercantile Exchange in Chicago. Live cattle clawed their way back from early session lows, but but saw losses of 77 cents to $2.32 on the front months. Deferred contracts were as much as $1.60 higher. Feeder cattle closed mixed as well, with front months down 45 cents to $2.20 and the back months 25 to 45 cents higher. The Mercantile Exchange's feeder cattle index was at 136.12 on Thursday of last week, down 45 cents. After the morning delay, wholesale box beef prices reportedly were higher Thursday afternoon. Choice boxes were up $3.59 to $334.56. Selects $5.55 higher to $306.45. That puts the choice to select spread to $28.11. In big news on the cattle front, the major packer JBS was hit by a cyber attack on its North American and Australian computer networks over the weekend. There were reports of several U.S. plants canceling shifts yesterday, Tuesday. Slaughter was hurt in the cattle markets, as Tuesday's estimated slaughter was only 94,000 head, 17,000 head less than last Tuesday. In your hog markets, they closed with $1.35 to $1.37 gain in the nearby contracts yesterday, Tuesday. The National Afternoon Bays Hog Price from the USDA was reported at $108.92, $3.60 higher than last Friday. The Lean Hog Index from the Mercantile Exchange was $113.44 last Thursday, another 32 cents higher than the previous report. Pork cutout futures were up $4.50 on the limit for the June contract. USDA's national pork carcass cutout value was reported at 127.12 a hundredweight, 53 cents higher on the day. Rib primals were up $10.59. Estimated hog slaughter Tuesday was 390,000 head, likely affected by the JBS issues, and that's 98,000 head lower than last Tuesday for hogs. So recapping your mixed to mostly lower livestock futures from yesterday, Tuesday, June fat cattle were $2.32 lower to $113.55. August fat cattle down $2, $116.60. October fat cattle down 77 cents on Tuesday, $122.92. Other months in fat cattle, December through August of next year, had gains of 17 cents to $1.60. August feeder cattle were down $2.20 yesterday, $149.15. September feeders on Tuesday down $1.55, $151.97. October feeders down 92 cents, $154.10. November feeders down 45 cents, $155.62. January through May of next year, feeders had gains of 25 to 45 cents. And finally, your lean hogs for June on Tuesday gained $1.37 to $118.62. July hogs up 30 cents, $119.65. August lean hogs up $1.35 at $117.57. October through May of next year, hogs had gains of 42 cents to $1.47. Now we'll move on and take you back to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for yesterday, Tuesday's Cash Livestock Report.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Tuesday afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded $1.89 lower in a range of $99.74 to $117, with the weighted average carcass price of $105.32. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sow prices were steady, with moderate demand for heavy offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows weighing under 400 pounds traded at $38 to $44, 4 to 5 weighed at $41 to $46, 5 to 6 weighed at $44 to $49, and over 600 pounds at $46 to $52. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, prices for barrels and gilts at the country buying points were a dollar higher, with moderate to good demand for light offerings, ranging from $71 to $75. Packer receipts for barrels and gilts totaled $14,928. In the Direct Cattle Trade from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on a dress basis traded at $192. Heifers on a dress basis traded at $192. From the National Daily Pork Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established with 344 loads traded. calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $127.12, which was 53 cents higher. From the National Boxed Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading mixed. Choice carcasses were $330.97, which was 99 cents higher. Select carcasses at $300.90, which was $3.20 lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 94,000, compared to 121,000 last week and 115,000 one year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 390,000, compared to 485,000 last week and 418,000 one year ago. That concludes our livestock report. This is Katie Lemonager with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And that's all for part one of the Morning Ag Show on this Wednesday morning, brought to you by Pros Drainage, by Taylor Tire and Auto of Litchfield, and by Farm Credit Illinois. Radar shows no precipitation in the immediate listening area. This check of radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company.
Times have changed, and so has the way you can access your grain account information. M&M Service Company is proud to introduce our new safe and secure grain app. Get 24/7 account access from your smartphone, iPad, or tablet, which gives you the ability to track scale tickets, contract statuses, settlements, and open balances on any grain in DP, open storage, and in held. You are also able to view cash bids as well as a futures market. Plus, it's free for growers. Contact your local M&M Service grain staff to verify your contact phone number is on the accounts you wish to view before trying to log into the app.
For today, across mid-Illinois, cloudy skies, a slight chance of showers, highs in the low 70s, and light east winds. Tonight, cloudy skies with a slight chance of showers, lows in the upper 50s. For tomorrow, Thursday, sunny skies, highs in the low 80s. For Friday through Sunday, clear skies with low temperatures in the mid-60s, highs in the mid-80s. Cloudy skies at the Weather Center, and right now we have a temperature of 60 degrees. This check of radar weather brought to you this morning by the M&M Service Company. Part two of the Morning Ag Show brought to you by the CNB Bank and Trust, helping to open doors since 1854, and by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value.
Farm Bureau members can save big with our new membership benefit platform. Whether you're traveling the country or staying local, Montgomery County Farm Bureau provides offers and discounts at home or on the go. Visit the following local retailers to take advantage: Nelson Audiology, Sloan Implement Company, Diamonds and Dogs, McKay Napa, Seavers Equipment Company, Indian Springs Golf Club, O'Reilly Auto Parts, Victory Lane Ford, and more. Join today and gain access to thousands of discounts.
The CNB Wealth Management Group offers a broad array of trust, estate, and investment management services. CNB Bank and Trust has been in the forefront of regional trust services since 1922. Please call Matt Slidham or Marion Toth in Carlinville at 854-2674 to learn more about how CNB can assist you. CNB Bank and Trust, helping to open doors since 1854.
Trust and Wealth Management Services, not a deposit, not FDIC insured, not insured by any federal government agency, not guaranteed by the bank, and may go down in value.
And with part two of the Morning Ag Show, once again, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thanks again, Randy. Now here in your top ag story on a Wednesday, as I mentioned in the livestock report in part one of this morning's Farm Show, one of the world's largest meat packers has recently announced it had been hit by a cyber attack over the weekend. JBS announced Sunday some of the servers supporting its North American and Australian IT systems were targeted. Scott Bennett, Director of Congressional Relations with the American Farm Bureau, says the company responded immediately.
The company took immediate action, suspending all of the affected systems, notifying authorities, and activating the company's global network of IT professionals and third-party experts to resolve the situation. The company's backup servers were not affected, and it is actively working with an incident response firm to restore its systems as soon as possible.
And Bennett says that could lead to the meatpacking industry expecting disruptions.
The company is not aware of any evidence at this time that any customer, supplier, or employee data has been compromised or misused as a result of this situation. The company does state that a resolution of the incident will take time, which may delay certain transactions with customers and suppliers.
Bennett also says the situation may be affecting the supply of beef products both domestically and internationally.
It is concerning whenever we see disruptions in our food supply chain. Certainly the COVID-19 pandemic showed us that last year. We hope that JBS can get up and running as soon as possible. This event has certainly shined a light on how vulnerable even agriculture can be to cybersecurity threats.
Again, that was Scott Bennett with the American Farm Bureau. In other news on the JBS computer hack, in response to the cybersecurity threat, the company has been shutting down meat processing facilities across the globe, including here in the United States. Veterinarian Jim Lowe of the University of Illinois has his perspective on the potential impact of the cyber attack.
I think what will happen to the industry is still to be told. We don't know yet. If it's today, probably not that big a deal. It sounds like a big chunk of the company are shut down today. If it goes on for the rest of the week, I think that's really a problem across the entire protein complex.
JBS Foods provides more than 206 million 4-ounce servings of protein around the planet every day. It is the second largest supplier of each of the three primary meats in the United States, including beef, pork, and poultry. Lowe says the packing plants are mostly set up to run at 100% capacity and that any glitch along the chain has a ripple effect. He uses Beardstown's pork processing plant as an example.
So if we don't harvest pigs at Beardstown today, which is, 20-ish thousand pigs that would be harvested there today, if those don't get harvested, they've got to get harvested sometime later and we just run out of days, right? It's a perishable commodity. The pig's gaining weight every day. He needs to get to town. Same deal on the cattle side and really the same on the chicken side.
The supply chain is tightly coordinated and very efficient. However, this means any disruption, for instance, COVID-19 about this time last year, has an impact on the ability of the system to continue to move product along. In the latest national news from Capitol Hill, the Energy Department's Energy Statistics Agency says most cars on the road by the middle of this century, 2050, will still be using an internal combustion engine, not electricity, which has one ethanol state senator complaining that Democrats are picking winners and losers. Senate Ag and Finance member Chuck Grassley of Iowa says the Energy Information Administration report is clear, and the Biden goal for all electric vehicles by 2030 or 2035 is way too optimistic.
By 2050, 79% of the cars on the road will be internal combustion engines. Obviously, Biden hasn't read that EIA report.
Instead, Grassley charges that the president and finance chairman Ron Wyden are picking winners and losers with billions for electric vehicles and millions to convert the USDA fleet, and nothing for biofuels.
Iowans rely on biofuels as key market for corn and soybeans, and it's sad to see that even USDA is trying to eliminate a market which farmers rely on.
Grassley says the winners are the ultra-wealthy who can afford to spend up to $80,000 on an electric car, while the tax breaks mean little for the middle class and the poor.
$12,500 off of $80,000 vehicle, there still aren't going to be very many middle-income and lower-income people be able to afford a car that expensive.
Grassley calls the White House proposals idealistic, while the administration argues the changeover is key to dealing with the impacts of climate change. And in the latest news from the USDA, late last week the White House released President Biden's proposed budget for the fiscal year 2022, calling for $6 trillion in spending as well as controversial tax provisions. The Hagstrom Report says the president's budget calls for USDA discretionary spending at $27.9 billion, a 16% increase over the previous year. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack says the proposal calls for $700 million for requested ReConnect program funding to provide access to quality broadband for rural residents. The proposal would also invest in critical research and development capacity for farmers. Vilsack says American farmers must be able to compete in a world market to thrive, all while protecting the health of America's soil and water. The budget request would provide $4 billion for USDA's research, education, and outreach programs focused on making investments in agricultural research to put science and data-driven tools and American technology in the hand of farmers. The budget also increases funding for climate-smart agriculture, climate resilience, and clean energy by almost $1.5 billion. House Ag Committee Chairman David Scott says he applauds the focus in the budget on important investments in rural America and food systems, particularly in rural broadband. And in ag news from around the world, from the U.S. Soybean Export Council, they're continuing their work to develop new markets for U.S. soy. One of those new regions is the sub-Saharan African region, the area south of the Sahara Desert consisting of more than 50 countries. USSEC says the region demonstrates a lot of factors that make it a valuable potential for soy. There's a growing population that exceeds 1 billion and is expected to double in size by 2050. That makes the sub-Saharan African region one of the most substantial frontier markets in the world. The economic conditions in the region are getting stronger, with the annual GDP growth rate between 2 and 6.5%. Projections for the recovery and growth in the region are expected to be positive coming out of COVID-19. People in the region are also taking steps to address protein deficiency as awareness, knowledge, and investments to combat the shortage that continues to grow. USSEC says the African Development Bank Group is working to increase livestock ownership to help fill the dietary gaps and make an impact on nutrition in the region. Soybeans will likely play a key role in helping produce protein sources like milk, eggs, and fish. Now let's move on and take a look into Illinois State Ag News here on a Wednesday. And we have your latest crop progress and condition report from last week, a longer week due to the Memorial Day holiday. And with the report, we join the National Ag Statistics Service in Springfield.
There was an average of 3.9 days suitable for field work last week. Temperatures averaged 64.9 degrees, 0.9 degrees below normal. Precipitation averaged 1.07 inches, 0.03 inches above normal. Topsoil moisture supplies were rated 1% very short, 8% short, 69% adequate, and 22% surplus. Corn planted reached 95% compared to the 5-year average of 84%. Corn emerge was 86% compared to the 5-year average of 72%. Corn condition was rated 1% very poor, 3% poor, 16% fair, 67% good, and 13% excellent. Soybeans planted reached 89% compared to the 5-year average of 65%. Soybeans emerged reached 74% compared to the 5-year average of 46%. Soybean conditions rated 1% very poor, 3% poor, 19% fair, 67% good, and 10% excellent. Winter wheat headed was 95% compared to the 5-year average of 91%. Winter wheat conditions rated 2% very poor, 2% poor, 9% fair, 60% good, and 27% excellent. Alfalfa hay first cutting reached 71% compared to the 5-year average of 44%. Other hay first cutting reached 56% compared to the 5-year average of 38%. Pasture conditions were rated 1% very poor, 1% poor, 24% fair, 43% good, and 31% excellent. This has been Steve Parn with USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Heartland Regional Field Office in Springfield.
And in other state ag news on this Wednesday, an Illinois lawmaker is aiming to boost rural emergency medical technician recruitment. The legislation is allowing for exceptions to the credentialing process in rural areas that allows nurses, physician assistants, and advanced practice registered nurses with active licenses to apply and serve as a volunteer to perform the same work as a certified EMT, says State Representative Dan Swanson.
We've got some of the greatest people in the world in our rural EMT services already. This just adds and complements to what we have there already. And you're absolutely right. We have such a shortage of EMTs within our communities, and I've got communities where theirs have had to close down because they don't have the resources, which then burdens those neighboring supportive services too, which, you know, if you've called 911 and you've got an emergency, you hate to have to wait and wait and wait. And with this, we hope to be able to keep our crews full and able to respond to the needs of our communities. You know, we had to put a population of 5,000 in there. I was at 10,000. They realized that we should maybe, or they being the one of the associations, said, you know, we could support this if you lowered that to 5,000, which does fit our communities better.
Swanson says the idea was brought to him by a couple of rural fire chiefs. And late on Monday evening on Memorial Day at about 11 minutes to midnight, the state budget was passed along party lines, with Democrats passing the $42 billion new state budget. Kevin Stimlow with the Illinois Farm Bureau says that agriculture fared pretty well.
As part of the budget, the Department of Agriculture and other agricultural programs did receive funding. Most of it was level funding compared to last year. For example, Ag Education received $5 million, which they received for several years. County Fair funding remained pretty steady. The one program that did see an increase was funding for soil and water conservation districts, mainly to increase its funding for the nutrient loss reduction strategy. We see that the soil and water conservation districts doubled their appropriation levels to $15 million. Of course, all that was a part of a plan and a coalition pushing to move forward the nutrient loss reduction strategy. Other programs, of course, we saw Livestock Management Facilities Act for administration being pretty much the same, and several other programs that were continued to be held constant.
Again, that was Kevin Stimlow with the Illinois Farm Bureau. He serves as Director of State Legislation. And the annual FFA convention this year is looking a bit different than past years here in Illinois, but students will be gathering in person nonetheless. The FFA has three outdoor events planned around the state to keep crowds a little smaller. FFA Vice President Molly Shimp says after an all-virtual FFA convention last year, it was important to plan out a way to honor award winners in person.
Something we really wanted to accomplish with this year's state convention, being able to hold it hybrid, allows us to get out to members and give them the opportunity to have that moment walking across the stage and receive that recognition that they have worked so hard to receive. So specifically, state degrees were something we wanted students to walk across stage and receive like everybody else has received that ceremony.
The state FFA convention kicked off yesterday in Normal to celebrate sections 1 through 5. That event was held at the Cornhuskers Corn Belt baseball field in Normal. This coming Friday, they'll be in Carbondale to celebrate sections 21 through 25 in the southern part of the state. And the last and final portion of the state convention will be held next week, the 8th, 9th, and 10th, at the state fairgrounds in Springfield to celebrate the accomplishments of section 6 through 20. And finally, let's move on to take a look at local ag news and our ag community bulletin board here on this Wednesday. Coming up this Saturday and Sunday, the Hillsboro Old Time Tractor Show will be held in conjunction with the Montgomery County Bicentennial. Again, the show held this weekend, Saturday the 5th and Sunday the 6th at the Montgomery County Fairgrounds in Butler. Also being held this Saturday at the Bicentennial Celebration, Mid-Illinois livestock producers will be serving ribeyes, hamburgers, and all-beef hot dogs. Serving gets underway at the Bicentennial on Saturday at 11 a.m. Coming up the following Saturday on the 12th, the Montgomery County Farm Bureau Young Leaders will be handing out popcorn in the Irish Days Parade. That's in Farmersville. Coming up later on in this month of June, the Dudley Smith Farm Outreach Meeting will be featuring research updates on soil health and cover crops, using cover crops with annuals, progress towards soil phosphorus credits, and long-term effects on management practices for nitrogen loss. This virtual meeting will be held from 10 till noon on Wednesday, June 16th. The meeting is free and open to the public, and registration is available in advance by Friday, June 11th, by going to illinois.edu/DSFmeeting. More information about the event is available from the Christian County Extension Office, and you can call them in Taylorville at 287-7246. And that wraps up Ag News here on a Wednesday morning, but remember you can always send us your Ag News by email at wsmi@wsmiradio.com. So again, for this Wednesday morning, June 2nd, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.